7BR Part Heard.
Hello and welcome to 7BR's 12 Days of Christmas. I'm Eleanor Day, Chambers paralegal, and here on the Part Heard podcast, we've spent the last 6 months traversing the legal landscape, examining issues across multiple practice areas, guided by the diverse expertise of our members. Now, as we near the end of this most unusual of years, we're taking the opportunity for reflection. So each day for the next 12 days, a different member will discuss a 2020 case of theirs in a sort of legal advent calendar. Today, Adam Clemens is here to speak about Archer against the Commissioner of Police of the Metropolis, which was heard in the High Court earlier this year. Adam specialises in police law, clinical negligence and personal injury. He has wide inquest experience, acts as an independent advisor to a leading insurance provider on funding issues and settlement parameters in very high value cases, and also has a niche practice in bailiff enforcement law. His recent workload has featured an increase in Article 3 claims based on allegations of failed historical investigations in the police context and complex traumatic brain injury and personal injury.
Thanks, Ellie. Archer is one of those rare cases because not very often does a genuine novel legal point come along. But this is one of them, and it's a really neat legal point. It's a neat legal point because, before I explain it very shortly, there's no domestic authority directly on point. And in all of the European jurisprudence, there are but two sentences in judgments which deal with this and only deal with it indirectly. The stark issue was whether post-charge denial of bail under Section 38 of PACE is compatible with Article 5, deprivation of liberty. And before the background, the claimant argues in this way. He says, my detention under Section 38 of PACE, the Police and Criminal Evidence Act, is lawful because the custody officer has a power to deny bail where it is in a juvenile's, as he then was, or indeed an adult's own interests for their own protection. And here, the custody officer feared gang reprisal attack. But that is not a justification own interest that appears in Article 5. There are justifications, commission of further offences, failing to attend court. But own protection is spectacularly absent. And so the claimant says there is clear domestic and European jurisprudence which says that the express exceptions under Article 5 are to be interpreted narrowly and exhaustively. And that much is true. And so they say, because own protection ain't listed, you can't rely on it. And that is why it's a neat legal point. Even I can understand that. And they argue that because of that, it must follow that there is a breach of Article 5. Now, I always conceded in argument before Mr. Justice Chamberlain that if that was the beginning and end of the analysis, the claimant must win because own protection is not there. The challenge was to try and persuade Mr. Justice Chamberlain to adopt a more expansive and flexible approach, properly to reflect a genuinely held concern for someone's safety. The claimant had been the victim of gang violence for some time, but got involved in an incident where he was stabbed. He was necessitating hospital admission and treatment. He wouldn't cooperate with the prosecution, but he was arrested because he was suspected of being involved in a violent disorder and possessing an offensive weapon. And the custody officer had a genuine fear that if he released him on bail, that he could be attacked and fatally injured or seriously injured. It put the custody officer in something of a dilemma, because if he or she had fears for somebody's safety that didn't meet an Osman direct and imminent threat, they faced the prospect of releasing somebody into the community who was significantly at risk. And the claimant had no answer to that argument. So why is it worth tracking this case? Well, whilst Mr. Justice Chamberlain thought that he was right and was confident in that view, he gave permission to appeal to the Court of Appeal, and that's going to be heard in May, because he thought they could take a different view because there is a singular lack of authority on the point. Why might it be more interesting from a wider analysis? Well, perhaps three reasons. I'll set them out briefly. One, it might, stress might, give a steer as to how human rights cases are being treated in the post-Brexit era. In a recent Supreme Court case called Jallow, it was thought that to try and align Article 5 and the common law tort of false imprisonment would be a retrograde step. Secondly, if there is incompatibility, presumably the Bail Act would be incompatible as well, because there are similar provisions, own protection, that allow a court to deny bail. And thirdly, in such circumstances where detention is lawful domestically but unlawful under the European Convention, what damages should flow? We said at the first instance hearing that it should be nominal. But worth tracking for those reasons, and because it is such a genuinely neat legal point.
Thank you for listening to 7BR's 12 Days of Christmas. For more information and to listen to all our previous episodes, please visit our website.